Ever on land with dangers thick on every hand, but Jesus guide us through the veil, the Christian's hope can never fail. Here's grace, how great a debtor.
Page 83.
When God reveals His gracious name and changes my mournful state, I rapture sing a pleasing dream, the grace appears so great. The world beheld the glorious chain, and did thy hand confess. My tongue broke out in unknown strain, and some surprising grace. Great is the word my neighbors cry, and all thy power divine. Great is the word my heart replied, and be the glory thine. The Lord can clear the darkest sky, can give us drops of sacred sorrow rise to rivers of delight. Let those that sow in sadness wait till the fair harvest come. They shall confess their sheaves are great, and shall the blessings hold. Those seed like barren log in dust, its shabby seed there hold. The precious grain can never be lost, for grace ensures the crop.
Anyone else have one?
Amen.
Certainly it's good to see each of you this morning. It's good to be here with the Church of Monticello again. It's good to see visitors who've come to be with us, those who come quite regularly, and even though you're probably not members here at this church, you're still kind of like home folks. So we're thankful for each other's presence, and certainly thankful to God for this opportunity to be here this morning. We have several appointments that we need to make or announce. Brother Bob Dickerson, and I'll put these down on the table right after we're announcing them. Lord willing, these appointments will start tomorrow night, and they will start at Monday, December 2nd. It'll be Elder Bob Dickerson and also Elder Bob Connors. But tomorrow night, they'll be at the Church of Abbots Creek. Tuesday the 3rd, they'll be at Northview. 4th, they'll be at No Creek. And the 5th, they'll be at Pleasant Hill in Ashboro. And then the 6th, they'll be at Mountain Creek. And on the 7th, Bob Dickerson will be at Pleasant Grove. Elder Bob Connors will be at Bear Creek. And then on the 8th, Elder Dickerson will be at Bear Creek. And Elder Connor will be at Pleasant Grove. So they'll just kind of swap off on those two nights. But Elder Bob Dickerson, he puts out a little newspaper article. I call it an article. I call it the Gospel Appeal, I believe is the name of it. And he's a very able man of God, and certainly I won't be able to be at those appointments, but any of you are able to go, the Lord bless us, it'll be worth your while. Certainly, we want to pray for those services also. Had a chance to see Sister Smith yesterday, visit with her for a while. She is at the Greensboro Health and Rehabilitation Center in Greensboro. She's got congestive heart failure, and that being the case, her strength had gotten so weak to where she was not able to do that herself. So now they've got her in rehabilitation, and she told me to send her love to each of you, and certainly wants us to remember her in our prayers. Also, I just told Sister June Bolden she has the flu. Certainly we know how mean that can be. Her also in our prayers. This is the season for things such as cold and flu, and it's just, I heard on the news yesterday, they've got a massive influenza outbreak out in the west, and so they're expecting to move in both directions, further west and further east, and so we kind of want to brace ourselves for that, but certainly hope that Sister Julie will have a speaking call. She'll be back in the house, and I know he misses her. She misses being here today. We want to stand and sing a song. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? I assume God is the one that's put the poinsettias in here, Brother Bill. Of course, they've been kind of a representative of the season. Get ready to approach into. They certainly are beautiful. And again, I'm thankful for her interest in putting something up here in front of them. Church that is very presentable and very nice to look at. She certainly does any better than I could ever wish to do, and her talent is, if you've ever seen her yard and her home, it's just a beautiful place. Certainly she is one of those people that has that kind of gift. We appreciate her sharing it with us. We want to stand and sing a song, number 4, page 176. We'll sing the first two and the last of this song.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest is
bow with us.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once again we have the privilege of calling upon Thee, realizing, dear God, that Thou hast all power and Thou standest in need of nothing. We realize too, our God, that our position before Thee is one of a beggar. Our position is one of a sinner. Confess before Thee, dear God, that we've fallen so far short of where we ought to be. Dear Father, this morning we thank Thee for the privilege of calling upon Thy name. We realize, dear God, that it's by Thy mercy and grace that we've been given this privilege. And it's also by the finished work of Thy darling Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for Thy finished work upon the cross. We thank Thee for Thy shed blood, for the remission of sins of Thy people. We thank Thee for setting up Thy church kingdom here, where we have a place to come in the storms of life and sit down and to rest for a moment of time. Where our souls have been fed and made to rejoice and see heavenly things. And realize, dear God, that this is indeed the way that is above every way. This is the way which no vulture's eye hath seen. Dear God, we ask Thee to forgive us what we have taken for granted. We ask, dear God, that Thou would forgive us what we've taken Thy mercy and Thy goodness. Blessings that Thou hast given time and time again, that we've taken those for granted. We're approaching a season, dear God, where it seems that man's eyes have turned from Thee, and their sole concern, it seems, to be that of the retailers or the merchants. Dear God, help us to not fall into that trap. Help us to keep in mind and in focus what this means to us and ought to mean. Every day, dear God, ought to be a holiday for Thy children. For we realize that it is indeed because Thou livest that we should live also. Our lives here are just a brief moment, just a vapor, but yet eternity is forever with Thee. Help us to keep in perspective the things that are important, the things that Thou hast taught us, things, dear God, that Thou hast given us to enjoy, the greatest of all being love. Father God, we ask that Thou would bless this meeting house here, this church, this people. Bless all that are near and dear unto them by the ties of nature. For we realize, dear God, that these little havens of refuge is not in the numbers. Dear God, we are leaning upon Thy promise that where two or three are gathered together in Thy name, that Thou art indeed in the midst of them. We ask Your Heavenly Father that Thou would give us spiritual wisdom to be able to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong. That Thou would also give us the strength, O God, to choose the good, that we might follow after Thee as Thou hast commanded us. Father, we pray for Thy kingdom in this world. It seems like darkness and rage and ruin is on every hand. But dear God, may it please Thee that we might see a revival in Zion. That Thy word again would become the most precious thing to Thy children. That we would not be led off by the cares and the trials and the foolish and vain things of this world. Father, we confess before Thee that we have sinned. We have come short of Thy glory. We confess before Thee, O God, that we stand in need again of Thy cleansing daily. For we realize, dear Heavenly Father, that in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing, and that without Thy mercy and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we would be lost forever in a world of turmoil and torment, and yes, indeed, a devil's hell. Father God, we thank thee. We can't thank thee enough for each of thy blessings. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that thou would remember those that are sick and afflicted, those who call out upon thee in the bed of affliction. How we ought to be able, dear God, in seeing them, to thank thee for what help we do have. And we would ask that we would not use it in a way that would be wasted. Father God, we ask that thou would remember Sister Smith and remember her for her faithfulness. We ask, dear God, that it be thy will to bless her and keep her, not only her, but Sister Jewel, that thou would give them a speedy recovery, that be according to thy will. And not only them, dear God, but thou knowest thy children wherever they are, those who stand in need of thee. Thou knowest our thoughts before we even ask. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that all that would be said and undertaken to do be in accordance with thy will, that it might please thee this morning to be one in our midst. Father God, we know from thy word that if thou art in the midst, indeed our hearts will be made to burn within us. And we do long for that good case of heart burning. Father God, forgive us again, for we failed, and we thank thee where thou hast succeeded in all things. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these blessings. Amen.
Come out of this coat. I want to speak to you on a subject I kind of took up last time. I want to kind of continue on from there. This is a subject that, indeed, I know if you go to, of course, a lot of churches only met one time a month. No doubt, this was closer to Christmas season, and you probably could get the nativity sermon. Well, that's not what's on my mind. Certainly, I have done some reading here in the last few days. I've been doing some reading on the seed of the woman, talking about whenever God told Eve that her seed, he would put enmity between her seed and the devil, and that her seed would bruise his head, and that he would, or his seed, or he would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. That's the only time in the Bible that you'll find seed referred to in the feminine gender. You say, well, why was that? That was pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of the seed of a woman. There was no man's seed involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet you'll find where it's referred to, the seed in the Bible, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob. But yet here the Lord talks about her seed. And so that would be a wonderful sermon in itself. And to consider that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself a body of flesh, took upon himself a human nature, became likened unto one of us with sin accepted. In other words, he had no sin. How that was made and that body was prepared, that God himself would prepare himself a sacrifice. How he took that upon himself and destroyed in that body of his by taking all our sins upon him. Took and destroyed not only death, but he destroyed him who had power of death, being the devil himself. The devil is still alive and well. It doesn't mean that, but it has destroyed the dominion that he's had over God's children. And we are no longer live in fear of that. So I would love to maybe start there and preach on the seed of the woman. And that would probably run right into the nativity scene. Certainly, glory to God in the highest. That would be the cry this morning. But that's not where my mind is gone, and it's not where it's at right now. I had spoken last time I was here on a subject that I've never tried to preach on in my life, and it was that of the devil. And that subject felt like I was scattered in that, but the Bible, a lot of times you don't hear a lot spoken of about the devil. He is some people have you to believe that he is just the force of evil that's out here in the world. I don't believe that. I believe he is a real being. I believe that he is someone who obviously was able to speak with Christ. In other words, who was Christ speaking with whenever he was tempted in the wilderness? It was the devil himself. Who was Eve
speaking with in the Garden of Eden. It was the serpent, or the devil himself. He is a real being. His power, he is powerful. He is compared to a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's compared to a prince of darkness. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the god of this world. He has several names, and all of them are one in which he does indeed have power. You remember he told the Lord, he said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you the glory of all these kingdoms. My question is, how could he give him something that he didn't already have? How could the devil give the Lord something that he didn't have? The truth of the matter was, he had those things that he showed the Lord, and he was able to give them to him. So he's and not only that, he's a wily. He's not the one who's going to hit you at your strong points. He's not one who's going to come up and face you head on. And a lot of times he's able to transform himself into the angels of light. So he's not going to come up here looking, waving a red flag, as I said last time we met. He's not going to come up here with hooves like a horse and a cloven tail and a pitchfork and a black goatee and two horns. A lot of times he's going to look very like something that is going to appeal to you. That's how he's going to look. And he is real. And I tried to lay that out, and I felt like I did a poor job with it, but I did the best that I could have done at the time. And I'm not going to speak on the devil as much this morning. But I want to speak to you this morning on the place where the devil will inhabit. I want to speak to you on a place, I'm not going to spend the whole time speaking about hell, because one thing, I don't know a whole lot about hell, and I don't want to know a lot about it, to be honest with you. But I know this much about it. I believe it too, just as the devil is a real entity, hell is also a real place. A lot of people say, I've heard people say, well, I just believe that hell is what we go through on earth. Well, I'll stop and think about that a minute. If that's the case, then you realize that Charles Manson's been in hell with me the whole time. Adolf Hitler has been in hell. I'm in hell. What we go through right here on earth is hell, then you can rest assured that's not my idea, and it's not the picture that the Bible paints of hell. Hell is not going to be a lonely place, and it's not going to be a cool place either. I can take the Bible scripture, and I can show you that there'll be more than one in hell. And I can show you not only that, I can show you that it's also going to be a warm place. And when I say warm, I don't mean like the tropics kind of warm. I mean hot. Hot. And we live in a world where men occupy the pulpits across this land. I heard Elder Pyle say this, and I don't mind using it. And I don't mind telling you who said it, because it's a good analogy. He says, when I hear men trying to air condition, when he rides by a building out here on the road, and somebody's working on that thing, renovating it, installing air conditioning on it, he's got the idea that they're getting ready to move in. And he says, and when preachers start air conditioning hell and cooling it off and renovating it to the point that where it doesn't sound that bad to go, the only picture he's got in his mind is that they're getting ready to move in. Well, my friends, I'm not planning on moving into hell. I'll be honest with you. So I can make it just as hot and just as crowded and just as nasty as the Bible makes it. I don't want to go any further, but I don't want to be one of these that you've come across that you've never heard about a sermon on hell. Hell is a real place. And a lot of times we have and live in an age where that is considered a curse word. But let me just point that out. That is a geographical location. Hell is the place made for the wicked. It's the place made for the devil and his angels. And it is the place that will also be eternal, just as heaven will also be eternal. If God's punishment is not everlasting, then if somebody says, well, his punishment is not necessarily everlasting, well, then how long is his joy? How long is the joy of heaven if the punishment of hell is not everlasting? If they want to explain that away, then you're going to have to go to the other side of that and say that the joy of heaven is not everlasting. I say the joys of heaven are everlasting and eternal, and I say that the punishment of the wicked and of the Satan and hell itself is eternal also. Now, stating that, I want to go to a verse or an area of Scripture that even among old Baptists is very controversial, not from the standpoint of causing splits or anything like that. But it is there are verses of Scripture that I've asked several people about the third chapter of John.
You know, where it talks that the God, Christ is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, you know, where it says you must be born of water. There's two basic arguments in the Old Baptists, among the Old Baptists. One say that they believe that that has reference to the new, to the natural birth that he's having reference to. That whenever one issues from the womb, it's the water that issues from the womb. Others believe that it's the Spirit. I believe it's the Spirit. Now, I don't mind telling you where I stand on it, but I've asked several preachers. I've been where preachers are congregating and talking, and asked them about that, and you'd be able to get half and half. Well, you come to the 16th chapter of Luke, and you're going to find a scenario here, and I've heard this this writing here, or teaching by our Lord, and many will say that it's a parable. But I am not so sure about that. I don't believe it's a parable. And I've heard it spiritualized where it talked about the nation of Israel and it being the Gentiles and the nation of Israel's rejection of the gospel, and therefore they're in a type of hell. My friends, I'm going to take the position that this is how the Lord laid it out. I'm going to take the position he took. And I say that he knew, and certainly it would be no big thing for the Lord to know something about heaven and something about hell. And he gives this scenario here. And notice this, a lot of times whenever the parables are written, you go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not every time, but a lot of times it'll start out this way, and the Lord spake to them in a parable. And the Lord spake to them in a parable. Now, that won't happen every time, but usually whenever that happens, you know for certain that what comes in behind it is a parable. But here, notice that whenever you go to the 16th chapter of Luke, you'll find that the Lord... that Luke does not preface that statement with this. There, he starts in the 16th chapter of Luke, and he says, "And he said unto his disciples," here's the Lord teaching them again, and I'm going to start, this is just the first verse of the 16th chapter of Luke. He says, "There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." So here he doesn't start out by saying that it's a parable. The Lord says there was a certain rich man. And I believe the Lord is taking an instance in which he knows this to be a fact and is telling this story here to teach his disciples a lesson. Now somebody will say, that was a parable. That's all a parable was. Not quite. You go read about parables and start looking that up. You'll find it served two purposes. One, it was to teach God's children some lessons about the kingdom of God, or a lesson that he was trying to teach. But that thing also had a second part to it, and it was to hide it from others. Somebody will say, what are you talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ stated that it was not given unto them to know. Therefore, he spoke to them in parables. So what is he doing? He's revealing some spiritual truths to his children and hiding it from some others. People think that Jesus Christ, his entire mission here was to reveal the Word of God to everybody. If that were the case, then why would he make this statement? Remember whenever he sent the 70 disciples out, and they came back to him, and they said, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us. And he said, Father, Jesus, thank the Father. He said, Father, I thank thee, God of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Somebody will say, well, why did he do that? He'll answer it if you'll keep reading. He said, for even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus Christ is thanking God the Father that he has hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Well, now that doesn't sound like a Christ is trying to get it revealed to everybody, does it? If it was Jesus Christ's mission to get it revealed to everybody that he came in contact with, do you realize that he just thanked God the Father that he failed in that mission? Did he fail? He's never failed. Was that his mission? That was not his mission. And so therefore, whenever he taught in parables, it was to reveal it to some and to hide it from others. A lot of folks don't like to hear that in this day and age. They like to hear that Jesus is out there beckoning everybody under the sun to come in under the sound of the gospel. That is not true. He thanked God the Father that it was hid from some and yet revealed unto others. I'm preaching a God of discrimination. I'm preaching a God of a difference. People don't like to hear anything about a difference anymore, do they? They sure don't. They like to, and we live in a sick world where it's no longer politically correct to refer to people in the he and the she gender. There's now Bibles coming out where God is referred to as she. That's not in God's Word. It's not that he's referred to a he. Now, don't get me wrong. There is also, he is a complete. He knows also, listen, he's the one that made the male and the female. How do you think that that's anywhere lesser? I don't have to refer to him as she. He referred to himself as a he. And if that's how he did it, that's how I want to refer to him. If that's how he revealed it to me, that he was called that, then that's how I want to refer to him as a he. But everything nowadays is so bland. You know, it's no longer correct to make a difference. There's no difference between white and black anymore. No difference between male and female. We believe in a God of a difference. That's what he told the children of Israel. He said, not even whenever he told the children of Israel that the plague was coming against Egypt. He said, a dog will not even wag his tongue against one of the children of Israel, that they might know that I have put a difference between them and the Egyptians. That's what he tells them. I want to get over here, and I'll read that just right out of the Bible. And it'll take me a second to find it here. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israel. And Israel. I'm preaching to you this morning of a God of difference. We live in a day and age when it's no difference at all. There's a big movement across this world that there's no difference. There's no religious bounds anymore. You just believe what you believe, and I'll just believe what you believe, and we'll just all come together under the banner of love. Well, my friends, you go read about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that whenever he came into this world, he would divide even households. He was a divider. He was one that put a difference in between his children and the rest of this world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith your God. And what is he talking about? Come out from among them and be ye separate. He's looking for a separate people, a different people, a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. That's who he's looking for. Ones that he's born again of his spirit. He's not made it. You go look at even history. The first one world empire where the thing was, come on together and help us build this Tower of Babel. Who was that? It was Nimrod. What happened to it? God confused their language. He split them apart. You'll go find where he split them apart by language. You'll also find where he split them apart geographically. He caused the portions of the earth to move to separate them. Isn't it strange that man's mission has always been one to come together, come together, come together. And the one big banner. And we're living in a government now. It's called a New World Order. And their cry is, let's all come together under an economic system. Let's all come together under a socio-economic system. Let's all come together under a one-world religious system. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Just wait and see. It's on its way. It's here. It's in the forming now. And I'm telling you, my friends, we believe in God who believes in a difference and separating his people out. I don't know why I got up on that, but I'm glad I did. And here was a certain rich man. There was a certain rich man in the 19th chapter.